Well, I'm going to acknowledge first off that it's warm. But isn't it nice to be warm instead of cold this time of year for once? I think so. Anyway. So if you would, please pray with me. Lord, we come before you on this Christmas Eve. We come before you to worship you, to give praises to you, to give all glory and all honor to you on this night. This night when we remember the birth of Jesus, our King. So, Lord, we pray that this word would be a word that would somehow remind us of what a miraculous story this is. A story come to life. Remove me and let your glory be proclaimed. In Jesus' name, amen. So good evening again. You know, tonight we've heard the story of the birth of Jesus told again. And we've lived another year, and we're celebrating another Christmas, and praise God for that. It's a blessing to come before you here at Orem's and give my first real Christmas message. We had a children's service earlier, and that was kind of a message, and we celebrated the birthday of Jesus, and that was fun. But this is my real first Christmas message as a pastor, so I'm blessed to be here with you all tonight. But really, what a message the story, the true story of Christmas is in itself. It's a joyous message, and yet I think we often overlook what Christmas is to us as Christians. Many of us have likely heard this story many times throughout our lives, and over time, the more that we hear it, the more we can take it for granted. We let the consumerism of the holiday take over the holy day that it is, and we focus on the Santa Clauses, the gifts, and all of those things that would take our focus off of Christ, off of the true reason that we celebrate Christmas. That true reason, the birth of Jesus, is so much more fantastic than any of those aforementioned things. Throughout the Old Testament, throughout all of the Old Testament, there was prophecy of the coming of the Messiah. You can look to Isaiah's text that was read today, where the Messiah would be the heir to the throne of King David in verse 7. You can also look to the prophet Micah throughout chapters 4 and 5, where it said the end of war would come through this Messiah, the end of pain. One day it would come through this Messiah. And you can look again to Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, where the Messiah was to be born the son of a virgin. Indeed, it was a promise made by God to the people through the prophets that one day a Messiah would be sent, a Savior would be sent to save them and to offer salvation to all people everywhere. Abraham was told way back in Genesis chapter 22, verse 8, that because of his obedience to God, God was going to bless all nations through him. Yes, this Messiah, this salvation was prophesied all throughout the Old Testament. And the real story of Christmas is so great because the Jewish people could never have imagined that God's plan would come about in such a way as it did the night that Jesus was born. That God's plan, his promise of salvation, would come about in the way that it did. The promise of God for a Savior did come about in a way that was contradictory to the way that the world would expect such a thing to happen. The birth came not in a palace, but in a stable. A stable, most biblical scholars agree, was more likely a cave than the traditional depiction of a barn-like structure. And in that stable, there were animals there resting because there wasn't even room at the inn for Mary and Joseph. So they had to be there with the animals in the stable. Jesus' mother, Mary, was poor and of very little means, and Jesus' earthly father, Joseph, who was of King David's lineage, was trusting God, but could not have fully understood how Mary was pregnant, except through that divine revelation of God and his dreams, telling him that it was that way because of God's divine intervention through the Holy Spirit as she was still a virgin. The first crib was not some extravagant crib for royalty, but it was a manger. It was a trough that animals ate out of. Jesus' first visitors, too, they weren't kings, they weren't queens, they weren't other nobles or royalty, they were shepherds. Shepherds that in first century Judea were thought of as liars. Shepherds were thought of as cheats. And shepherds were certainly thought of as sinners. See, Jesus' birth foreshadowed his life of living without a place to call home during his ministry, of being poor by worldly means, of trusting God and eating and living with sinners, not putting himself in a greater place, but putting himself with those shepherds and putting himself with those tax collectors. No, his birth was not a picture of divine royalty or that of what the coming of the Son of God and the Messiah would have been expected to look like. No, his birth, his actual birth, was the opposite of what would have been expected. Instead of being extravagant, it was a humble entrance for the Son of God. And yet, even so, even in as humble as it was, it's incredibly powerful. Because God came to earth in the form of a baby born to a human being. God didn't come as an adult, not even as a child, but as a baby that was completely dependent on his parents to take care of him. It was a humble beginning through and through for the fully God and yet fully human Jesus the Christ, the Son of God and yet the Son of Man. And yet it was through that humble beginning that we have the teachings of Jesus that spoke for the healing of the hurt, the mending of the broken, and spoke to the fulfillment of the law. It is through this earthly birth that a hope could come to light in the form of Christ, who was a bright light in the first century world clouded with the darkness of the Roman Empire's conquest of Judea and the Jewish people. And for us tonight, here at Orms, and with Christians all around this world, Jesus is also our hope. Our hope come to light in our own world of darkness. Sure, the names of those in power have changed. The countries mostly have different names as well. But the problems in this world are very much the same. And yet, even in all of this pain, all of the sadness, the war, the disease, the lies, the anger, and the disunity, even in all of that, and much more, through Christ, we have a hope. A hope that's real. A hope that shines an amazingly bright light into this world filled with darkness. And it shines into our hearts as well. And so on this Christmas Eve, we can rejoice that Christ is come. That Christ not only came 2,000 plus years ago, but he comes again into our midst tonight. And every day that we would accept him. He comes as a source of hope, a source of peace, a source of joy, and a source of love, and is the fulfillment of the laws of the Old Testament. And he calls us to take that joy that he gives us out into the world tonight. To not let it be bottled up inside of us when we would gather around the trees tomorrow. When we would gather around the tables if we would be so fortunate. And we can't hold that joy in today or tomorrow or ever. Because God calls us to let that joy out. God calls us to share it with others in love, to provide his hope so as to bring peace to a restless world in the name of Christ. Because even the despised shepherds of the first century Judea, they couldn't keep all of that good news to themselves. Those shepherds, as we saw in the text tonight, they had to tell others what they had seen. They had to witness to the hope that they saw lying in that manger. The hope that shed a miraculous light. The glory of God shined into their own lives. And we too, we can't afford to hold it in. The promise of God has come in the baby Jesus, and he has come for all people everywhere. And we need to let people know. Jesus is the promise from God, from long ago, that has come to fruition. And he is the reason for joy on this Christmas and always. He came, he had to come to teach, to live, to die, to be resurrected, so that all who believe in him can have the hope of a resurrection in their own lives. Not by who they are, or by what they did or do, but because of how and why Christ came to earth. And what he did for each of you, and for me too, and for all people. So on this Christmas, know how much God loves you. Know how much God really loves each and every one of you. That he came into this world filled with darkness, giving up his place of prominence at the right hand of the Father for a time, that he came to earth in the form of the baby Jesus to offer you salvation, to save you. And then when you realize that, maybe it's today, maybe it's tomorrow, maybe it's a year or 10 years from now, Lord willing, but when you realize that, whatever you do, when you leave here tonight, don't leave Jesus in the manger. Don't leave him there. Don't leave him here. But take him with you. Take him with you and let him continue to grow in you. Learn more of his teaching and take them to heart. Learn of his life and let those teachings and his life come into your heart. Let them transform you through the Holy Spirit in the same way that Christ has transformed this world through Christmas, through his life, through his death, and of course, through his resurrection. We must do this because there is a real hope in Christ that this world so desperately needs. Let us bring that hope to life each and every day of the year for those that would need to have it, because if anything, we in our world need hope right now. Jesus is that hope. A hope come to light on Christmas Day. Amen. And in just